if the great Australian dream is owning your home, it should come with a caveat: owning it outright and paying off that mortgage. In the United States, there's a new proposal to address their nation's housing crisis. The Trump administration's working to introduce a 50-year mortgage term for home buyers. That involves stretching out loan repayments over half a century, which lowers each monthly repayment. It's prompted plenty of debate, but it also highlights a growing trend, which is longer mortgage terms in general. Here in Australia, some lenders have recently started offering 40-year mortgages, and a third of Aussie adults said they would take out a 40-year home loan if it reduced their monthly repayments to a more affordable level. With me is Eliza Owen, Head of Research at Cotality, formerly CoreLogic Australia. She's been a housing market analyst for a decade. Eliza, welcome back to Life Matters.
G'day, Tegan. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the pros and cons of a 50-year mortgage.
Well, I think, like you said, this is about stretching out the life of a mortgage so that you're reducing monthly payments. And that means that people who may not have been eligible to service a mortgage can actually get one if those monthly payments are lower. But the main con is that it increases the cost of interest over time, because the longer you have a loan, the more you're going to be paying interest on it. So I actually gave this an Aussie twist. I took the average owner-occupied loan size in Australia, which is just under $700,000, and just did some back of the envelope calculations on a monthly payment for 30 years, which would be $3,900 a month, versus 50 years, which would be $3,400 a month. So it sounds good, you're saving roughly $500 a month. But if you look at the interest payment over the life of the loan, it would be $715,000 for a 30-year loan term and over $1.3 million for 50 years. Now, realistically, you might not be having the loan for that full 50 years. You might refinance to something shorter when your income goes up. But I mean, that's the main trade-off, right? There is a cost to these initially lower monthly payments.
Totally. But if it's the difference between you being able to buy your own house or not, can we put a number on whether you're better off than you would have been if you'd been renting over those years?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not providing financial advice here, right?
But
for me, like personally, I think it would be better to get onto a 40-year loan or a 50-year loan. And then when I've got higher income over the course of my career, try and refinance onto something cheaper. Better off doing that if I can own outright by retirement rather than renting in retirement. I do want to make it super clear. I think a 50-year mortgage loan would be very, very unlikely in Australia. And we can talk about the difference in mortgage terms for Australia, but essentially our banks have to carry more of their own risk. Where in the US, banks are kind of sponsored by these government-sponsored enterprises that relieve some of that risk. So it makes them more able to give out products like long-term fixed loans or 50-year mortgages. In Australia, I think that's less likely, because the longer the mortgage, the more the risk that you're eating into someone's retirement, and they might not be able to pay it off by the time they retire.
So the other thing, we're kind of talking theoretically, because like you say, it's not here in Australia. You can't get a 50-year mortgage in Australia, but you can get a 40-year mortgage, which isn't that much of a difference.
Yeah, so there are a handful of institutions. And back in 2019, ABC business editor Michael Yander actually penned a piece about this, talking about how there were this kind of small handful of lenders, some of them non-banks that are not regulated by the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority, or APRA, who did have those 40-year loan terms. And I think what we're seeing is, as housing affordability essentially gets to record lows, the financial system is adapting and innovating to find ways to help people into a rising market. But it's not a solution to housing affordability like Trump might tout that it is. It's a symptom of worsening housing affordability. And ultimately, we should be aiming to bring prices down so that as people live longer and work longer, they don't have to spend spend more and more of that time paying off a mortgage.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm chatting with Eliza Owen, who's the head of research at Cotality. And we're talking about the fact that in the States, they're looking at maybe making 50-year mortgages a thing. There are a handful of lenders in Australia who'll give you a 40-year mortgage. And Eliza, it's interesting you said that we're living longer, we're working longer. One text here says, I took out a 25-year loan at 49 years old after my divorce, $770,000. Frightening, so I make extra repayments. This person notes that some countries have 10-year and permanent rental leases and almost no one owns. It's a very Australian thing to own. But just thinking about this person, 49 years old, 25-year mortgage, what do we know about how old people are when they're applying for a mortgage these days?
Well, we know that the average first-home buyer in Australia is getting older because of housing affordability constraints. So the average first-home buyer age in Australia was last reported by the ABS at 35 years. Mm. So if you're taking on a 30-year loan, then you're looking at being very close to retirement age by the time you pay it off. As this person on the text line notes, a lot of Australians are actually pretty good at getting ahead of their mortgage payments quickly. Very few Australians borrow up to their maximum capacity, and nominal incomes will rise over time. So that will, you know, as inflation goes up over time, that erodes the real value of debt. And it does make it a bit easier to get ahead of mortgage repayments, build up your buffers, and hopefully not have to service the full term. I also think it's really interesting, the 25-year loan term, that was kind of the common thing when I started my career 10 years ago. Mm. Now it's definitely 30 years. So it's interesting to see how, even though Australia might not get a 50-year mortgage, the loan term has definitely expanded and the 30-year has become the new norm over time.
And we're borrowing later, so it's pushing those repayments into our later, an older bracket than we would have previously been paying.
And we're borrowing more. If you look at research too, the Household Income and Labour Dynamic Survey in Australia has found that in the past 20 years, there has been an increase of people who have mortgage debt when they retire, from 13% back in 2003 to 17% in 2023. And of course, the other consequence of all this is that people just don't get mortgages at all, and we have more people in the private rental market over their lifetime.
On the text line, a couple of people pointing out another notable difference between Australia and the US, which is that they have a 50-year fixed interest rates too, not variable rates. Stefan in Tasmania is saying that. Another person says, if we're going to import anything from America, it would be fixed-term interest rates that last up to 30 years. What do you say to that, Eliza?
Yeah, so the vast majority of new lending in Australia is on variable terms. At the end of 2024, only 3% of outstanding mortgage debt was on fixed terms. So for those who aren't aware, fixed versus variable, fixed is basically you get the same rate over the life of the loan. Variable mortgage rate follows changes in funding costs for banks and are very closely influenced by the cash rate. So if the cash rate goes down, variable mortgage rate holders do benefit from lower mortgage rates if the banks pass them on. Now, Australia did actually do some research on this. The government produced a research paper in 22-23. And the findings were basically that in the US, the risk associated with issuing 30-year fixed rate mortgages is shared between lenders, government-sponsored enterprises, so think Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. We don't have the same system in Australia. Banks have to take on more of their own risk. That's the way our financial system is set up. And for those banks, it's more risky for them to fix your rate over the life of the loan. And that's why variable tends to be the norm here.
Here on Life Matters on ABC Radio National, we're chatting about mortgages. Just a nice Tuesday morning pick-me-up to make you feel a bit depressed about the cost of living and whatnot, whether we should be looking at longer-term mortgages here in Australia, following in the footsteps of the US, where they're talking about 50-year mortgages. One person says, let's face it, having a 50-year mortgage is not owning a home, it's renting a home from the bank. Another says, at that point, you're better renting and investing money elsewhere. Well, also with me is Molly Benjamin, who's the founder of Ladies Finance Club, which is a platform that helps women take control of their financial future. Molly, just to be clear, are we giving advice only to ladies today, or can anyone take part?
Look, it anyone can take part. It's not just the ladies.
Good to know. Good to know. What are some of the challenges you're hearing from your members when they're talking about buying their first homes?
Look, I actually went out to a bunch of members to get like the real life, like what's your biggest concern? And not surprisingly, it's the same things that come up, which is not enough for a deposit or not being able to save fast enough then the market is going up. And also the challenge of saving a deposit while paying big rents. And especially a lot of women in our community were saying, you know, they've got these high paying roles, which mean they need to be in big cities, but then they still can't even afford to buy even an hour out of the city. It's just not within reach. So the affordability piece is a big one. And then also, you know, stamp duty still being a major hurdle, even with concessions, many buyers in the suburbs where they live and work still fall above the waiver thresholds. But then also not knowing where to buy. And something I do hear quite a lot is a bit of like fear and a bit scared because, you know, this is like, you know, more than, you know, for some people, it's over $500,000. It's a $1 million decision. It's not like buying a pair of shoes. You can't just take it back if you get it wrong. So there's a number of different concerns we're seeing.
Do you think your members would consider that longer term home loan if it meant the lower monthly repayments?
Well, I like to think of my ladies as quite switched on, educated and savvy. So I think when they do the math, that would not be a path they would want to go down just because of how much extra they'll be paying. There's other schemes out there, the 5% or, you know, using lenders' mortgage insurance. I think they would look for other avenues before taking on such a big loan.
Really strong theme coming through on the text line. I read out that text before about someone in their late 50s needing to buy after a divorce. Another text, I took out a new mortgage at 51 after divorce. I'm due to pay off aged 77 or I'll downsize and repay. And Wendy says, I obtained a $300,000 30-year loan at 57 after a divorce. The only way I'll pay it off is to sell. Molly, is this a theme you hear with your members?
Absolutely. We're seeing a lot of women coming out of divorces and separations and in this position now where they might be using money from the settlement to get in the property ladder, hoping that either that property will go up in value or then they will downsize later on. But it's definitely something we're seeing so often at Ladies Finance Club for sure.
Eliza, do we have the settings right? If this is something that's happening in Australia, are we able to kind of support that group?
Oh, I think there's a lot of challenges with it. I mean, you hear that statistic of the fastest growing cohort of homelessness in Australia is women over 50. And I think divorce is something that is a vulnerability that we've only really, at least from the observation in my career, is something that we've really only been talking about for maybe the past 5 years or so. We want a housing system that basically promotes autonomy, right? If you want to live alone, you should be able to afford to live alone. If you want to live in share housing or, you know, with a partner, that's great. But we need to make sure that housing is affordable and accessible, whether you're a renter, single, and that's about, you know, continuing to build, continuing to increase housing supply, but also making sure that there's a steady stream of non-market stock, so boosting social and affordable housing. And I think also tackling some of the factors that increase demand for housing, like tax breaks for investors, for example, that would help take pressures off prices and would mean that people don't have to rely as much on longer loan terms or getting into large debt later in life in order to afford their own home.
It's Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Eliza Owen from Cotality and Molly Benjamin, who's the founder of the Ladies Finance Club, talking about the push for longer mortgages, at least in the United States. You can get a 40-year mortgage in Australia if you're prepared to not go to one of the big banks. One says this mortgage madness needs to stop. After the gains of the Industrial Revolution, computer automation and the information revolution, how can it be the case that we need to work harder and longer just to rest at night in a home you won't get kicked out of? Another says this is another demand-side manipulation. Supply is the issue. We need to address infrastructure and help our growing population population understand and embrace density, which itself needs to be properly planned. So picking up on some of Eliza's threads there. Molly, I'd love to come to you about your personal story because you are thinking a lot about money and how you distribute it, and you've decided not to buy the home that you live in.
Yeah, so I have chosen to rent vest. I live in beautiful Bondi, but the average home is not in my budget. So I worked with some different buyer's agents and found a property in Toowoomba in Queensland. And then I was able to buy another property in Launceston. Now, again, I'm not necessarily pro-property investing, but also it's the game we've been given. And so as I say, don't hate the play, hate the game. And so unless, you know, the game changes, why shouldn't I benefit from the system that's been created?
Yeah, I was going to say, Molly, sorry for the tax breaks for investors comment, but it's so true. Like, we've got ourselves into a system where housing has become so out of reach that rent vesting has increased as a strategy where people buy what they can afford and rent where they want to live, right? But it's still seen as a way to kind of grow wealth. When you say it out loud, it feels a bit absurd. It's like you can't afford a property, so you've got to buy a property before you can buy a property.
I know. And then am I then getting the people in that area where I've bought out of the market because then I'm buying in places I can afford, they're not going to be able to afford there. So it seems like the big issue is like that supply issue and also the tax system.
So, Eliza, while we're waiting for the tax system to catch up with what it sounds like would be good for us as a society, how do we, play the cards we've been dealt, play the game that's currently in play? What sort of things do people need to keep in mind?
Well, I think, what Molly's doing is really great because it's all about financial education for everyone. But, you know, it's great to see that also targeted at women who statistically tend to have lower levels of financial literacy. I think just being aware about terms, even something as fundamental as understanding how interest works, that's going to help you navigate things like loan terms, fixed and variable, in order to kind of optimize your mortgage costs or your investment strategy and do what is best for you. Unfortunately, I think systematically we are just entering this period where home ownership has been on the steady decline over the past 20 years. Another financial strategy in a way is to educate yourself about the tax and policy changes that can affect a better housing market and use your vote as well as your money.
Eliza and Molly, thank you both so much for joining me today. Eliza Owen is head of research at Cotality, which was formerly CoreLogic Australia. Molly Benjamin's the founder of the Ladies Finance Club. I will just reiterate, this is general advice only. Please don't base your financial decisions on something you heard on the radio, but maybe use it as a chance to figure out how to educate yourself better. I've also really enjoyed reading your texts this morning. One says, I'm a man at 53 who's just left a decade-long relationship. The cash settlement I have wasn't enough to put me back into the property market after selling the family home. I'm now having to invest it in a business to hopefully grow and leave me enough money to buy my own home before retirement. Unless I work until that time, the future doesn't look exactly bright. Another, as a single mother and nurse, I finally got a deposit for an apartment in my late 50s. Could only get a 30-year loan, but much rather be paying my place off than trying to find a rental. And on the idea of longer mortgage terms, one person says, this is the wrong move. More money for the banks. Need to more split homes built and programs for joint renters to combine and buy.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.